Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Welcome, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're going to talk about the idea of the necessary work of planning, both planning for the next hour, the next day, the next year of our lives, and the habit of mind of slipping into fearful, fretful worrying. And how do we distinguish when we're in one place or the other? When, you know, our topic of, in general is mindfulness, or being present to the moment without judgment. And clients often say to me, how do I plan and stay present to the moment? And that's part of what we're going to be talking about today. A couple of weeks ago, my partner and I realized that we had let her car battery die. She's been walking to work, right? Because she can't go to the gym anymore. So this is an easy way to get exercise. And we're staying home to stay safe, so we aren't driving very much. But we went out to the car one morning and it was dead. So she went off to work, walked on off to work, and I took care of calling the road service folks. The guy came out and he got the car started very easily, but he said, now you need to let it idle for about 20 minutes and then really drive around for about 30 minutes. And I didn't mind doing it. It was just that I had an appointment coming up with a client and I hadn't eaten lunch. So I was trying to figure out how to get all these things done in the time I had, when a great idea I thought came to mind, which was, oh, I'll drive around for 20 minutes and then I'll go through a fast food restaurant drive-through window because they're open, and I'll get lunch and I'll be home in time for my appointment, eat in the car, etc. So even though fast food wouldn't have been my first choice after eating at home for the last 3 months, I was still kind of looking forward to a meal that I hadn't shopped for or prepared or cleaned up after. So I went off on my drive and I got my lunch and I was sitting in the car and I was eating my fish fillet sandwich and my French fries and drinking a soda. And a huge wave of disappointment came over me because everything, even the soda, had absolutely no flavor. I mean, no taste at all. I was really surprised. There wasn't, you know, I smelled it. There wasn't anything wrong with the food. It just didn't taste like anything at all. And although before the quarantine, I didn't eat at fast food a lot, when I did, I enjoyed it. The last time I remember was in December. We'd gone to San Diego for the holidays, and when we came back, we'd had an early morning flight. We got into town and had about a 30-minute drive home and were famished. So we stopped at the same chain where I later had the fish sandwich a couple weeks ago and had the same order, right? Fish, fries, soda. It was delicious, right? Totally hit the spot that shove, you know, that big burst of salt, fat, and sugar did exactly what it was supposed to do. And I will be honest, I didn't feel tremendously great afterwards, but in the moment, it was really very, very pleasant. So I was disappointed that this opportunity for an indulgence, some kind of indulgent meal, absolutely fell flat. 3 months of home-cooked meals, right? And the same combination that I used to enjoy no longer had any appeal. Before I began practicing mindfulness, I engaged in a lot of habits of mind that were the equivalent of fast food, right? Reviewing stories of being hurt by others, rehearsing conversations where I'm sharp and clever, you know, conversations I'll never have, and generally allowing my mind to go to places like places filled with fear, places of unhappiness, places of disappointment, places of loneliness. They're familiar places, and revisiting them can give me an immediate hit and something that I can savor. And they're still available to me, right? They're like fast food. There's one on every corner, I would say, that I can indulge in when I want to. But what's been perhaps the most surprising thing to me about practicing mindfulness is how little satisfaction those particular habits of mind now provide. So today, as I describe the mindfulness journey, I want to focus our attention on the particular challenge of distinguishing between the habit of fretful worrying and the necessary work of planning and preparing for the future. I notice in my own life, and as I said in my work with clients, that it's really easy to slip from one to the other, right? We have to plan somewhat for the future, but then we move into that fearful, worrisome place. So as I said, you know, clients often say to me, how can I stay in the present moment? How can I practice mindfulness and plan? But I don't really think that's the problem. I think the problem is when healthy, luscious work of planning is overtaken by familiar, sometimes tasty, but ultimately dissatisfying habits like fearful and negative thinking. So before we launch into that conversation, let's do some breathing. So Laurie Cameron's three deep breaths. It helps sometimes to count the breaths so that the inhalation is slightly shorter than the exhalation. And we're going to pause when we get to the top of the inhalation. So first breath, just paying attention to the sensation of the air entering and exiting the body. Second breath, notice any place in your body where you feel tension and relax. And then the third breath, setting our intention for this moment. What do we need right now? So let's go. First breath, just pay attention to your breathing. Second breath, relax. And third breath, set your intention. So, planning versus fretting. I want to step back a little bit and talk about the work of a author who's writing has really had a powerful influence on me in my own mindfulness journey, and that is a man named Michael Singer. He wrote a book called The Untethered Soul, and then he wrote a book called, they overlapped in a way in terms of experience in writing. So there's The Untethered Soul, and there's The Surrender Experiment. And they're both really excellent, and I can't recommend them highly enough. So one of the things that he talks about in The Untethered Soul is the idea that our primal instinct is to survive, right? That in pre-modern society, all of our energy was organized around and towards survival. But in modern society, right, most of us are fortunate not to be struggling at a subsistence level for food, shelter, and clothing. And we rarely face life-threatening danger, at least not on a regular basis. So then the question is, what happens to that protective energy? Where does it go? And he argues that instead of helping us with physical survival, that the focus then of that energy is on psychological protection. It's on protecting the ego and our self-concept. And Singer argues that these protective strategies, unfortunately, put us in the place where we shut down energy centers. And we shut them down so that our ego isn't disturbed or upset. So that's what I'd like you to think about right now. What are the kinds of things that cause you to withdraw throughout the day, even at a very almost microscopic level? What are the things that we tell ourselves shouldn't happen because those things cause disturbances? So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you during the break to be thinking about what causes you a disturbance in your day such that you immediately move into a space where you're protecting yourself and your ego. So this is Transformation Talk Radio and Nothing But Now, and I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'll see you after the break.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerator program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Hello, friends. This is Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour. And here is your soul stretching success tip of the day. We all have a path to walk on our journey of life. There's no right and there's no wrong path. It's simply the path we have chosen. We also know that everyone and everything is composed of energy. Just as there's a positive, there is a negative. Just as there's light, there is dark. And of course, just as there is resistance, there is non-resistance. We are the creators of our life story. We are the captain of our ship. We are the producer of our movie. And as we walk our path, we have the free will to use our energy accordingly. I hope you have a wonderful day, filled with love, light, joy, and of course, non-resistant, free-flowing energy. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. And today we're talking about the challenge to our mindfulness practice when we are either trying to plan for the future or when we slip into a kind of fretful, fearful thinking as we try to plan. So what we were talking about right before the break is Michael Singer's ideas about how we use and how we direct and what we do with our energy, right? Now that it's no longer needed for a kind of primal survival instinct, now our energy is really organized and aimed at protecting our ego or our self-concept. So I wanted you to be thinking about during the break, what are some places, ordinary places in your day where you might notice yourself having to protect your energy or your ego or your self-concept? So one thing that comes to my mind is maybe when you were a kid, did your parent ever get mad at you for your tone of voice? My mother would say to us, "Don't speak to me in that tone of voice." Something about our tone of voice disturbed her energy. Right. And at the level, I think, of self-concept or ego, it sounded disrespectful. It sounded too much like we were speaking to her as an equal as opposed to as a subordinate. Have you ever shut down or felt yourself shutting down because someone asked you to do something, right? Something you didn't want to do, something you felt burdened by, something you felt overwhelmed by, and a situation where you didn't know how to say no, where you started thinking about all the implications of saying no and all the ways in which it would be bad for you, and suddenly your mind's kind of going off in this whirlpool of energy of negativity just because someone's made a simple request, but it doesn't seem simple in that disturbed self-concept. Have you ever heard a question sound like a criticism? I have a bad habit around this, that somebody can ask me what I'm sure to them seems like a kind of innocuous question. Hey, why are you doing X? And right, you just see it in my head. Hey, who are you? Why are you challenging me, right? My defenses go up very quickly and a question just sounds like criticism. How do you feel when another driver pulls out in front of you? You feel your energy swerve into that space of, hey, what are you doing? You're just, you know, I'm upset and I'm going down that energy path of anger and frustration at another driver. Something, of course, that they're completely unaware of because they're long gone. Do you ever worry about how others see you? Do you feel self-conscious about your nose, your clothes, and the size of your backside, right? Think of all of these ways in which during the course of a day, our energy can get disturbed. And many of them seem quite trivial, don't they? But in some ways, it's irrelevant whether it's a major thing or a minor thing. The disturbance is real, and the opportunity for us to shut down and pull the psychological blanket over our heads and withdraw is very, very strong. It happened to me yesterday morning. My partner was at work, and she called, and we chatted, and during the course of our conversation, I said to her, "Hey, I think I'm going to make quiche for dinner." And she said, "Oh, I'm having egg salad sandwich at lunch." And, you know, that's a lot of eggs in one day. And really, that's kind of almost the full extent of the conversation. But what I noticed was the tension, right? I could feel myself tensing up because I had a plan, right? I don't plan my day minute by minute, but in the morning, I had kind of thought about the course of my day, the things I wanted to accomplish. And quiche is very easy for me because I do not make my own pie crust, right? So that's the first thing. And throwing a bunch of ingredients together, that's easy. So I had this idea that it was going to not take me a lot of time. I had mushrooms I needed to cook up or do something with because before they went bad. And right, I mean, this is how much thinking there is in this very simple and trivial thing. We'd had pasta the night before, and my only other idea about mushrooms besides quiche is pasta, right? So my mind is upset that my plan has been disrupted. My body is tensing up. And then my partner says to me, "It's okay, I'll make dinner." And suddenly my defensiveness is now fully engaged. Why is she going to make dinner? What is she saying? Is she thinking I'm not smart enough or clever enough to think of an alternative to quiche? Is this really her way of saying that she doesn't like my cooking that much, but she's never wanted to really say it before, so she's just looking for opportunities to. Now, fortunately, I was in what Singer and others would call the witness seat. I was watching. I could see these ideas and thoughts coming, and I was kind of laughing at them because they weren't taking me for a ride. But that's right, how our minds can work, how those voices in our minds can work and take us over, that a simple thing, suddenly an innocuous offer on my partner's part can fill me with a lot of defensiveness, a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of self-criticism, right? Just really losing track and being carried away into this energy field. And I can imagine situations earlier in our relationship before I was particularly engaged in mindfulness practices where that kind of conversation could have really gone badly. And instead, I was in the witness seat. I was watching those thoughts. I was noticing those feelings. I was allowing them to pass through me. And we kept just talking about dinner, right? I did not shut down. And you know, you can think of what I might have said. "It's okay. Don't worry. I'll take care of it," right? Short, snarky, snappy. You disrupted my plans, and now I'm going to go fix it despite your getting in the way of my plans. And for goodness sakes, don't offer to be helpful, right? But instead, because I could watch it, I could stay there with her. And we started talking about other things we had in the refrigerator and other simple dinners we could have, and it was all perfectly fine. But I was at the edge of kind of a whirlpool of energy of being sucked in. And that's what I think is we want to be talking about in these habits that we struggle with sometimes. So, you know, overall in these episodes, this podcast, we've been talking about mindfulness. And I want to just do a quick review to make sure that we're kind of on the same page as we go forward with this conversation. So mindfulness, the practice of bringing our attention to the present moment without judgment, always wanting to emphasize the importance of that second part of the phrase of without judgment. We've talked about examining and noticing our habits of mind, so practicing opportunities for a quiet mind so that we can build up our capacity for a quiet mind, first of all, that we can notice the places that our mind inevitably wanders to, so that we come to understand the places mind goes a lot to self-criticism or defensiveness, right? Where does your mind tend to go? Reviewing the past, right? Fear being fearful about the future. Noticing that so that we can bring attention to it. And we've also talked about those voices that tend to dominate our thinking that are not us, right? As the Buddhists say, we are not our thoughts. So what are those thoughts that we are not, right? When we're in the witness seat, there are those thoughts, and we've talked about them from Martha Beck's description of the witness seat of the dictator voice and the wild child, right? The carping, angry, frustrated, fearful, critical voice, and the voice of pure need. And I think that when we talk about something like slipping from planning into a kind of fearful, fretful worrying about the future instead, that is really the dictator voice. And we've said that ideally, as we sit in the witness seat, as we notice those voices, we can look at them and notice them with compassion. We can say, I see you. I understand that you are afraid for me. I understand that you want the best for me. I understand that your methods are not so great. And so I can see you, but I am not going to be carried away by you, nor am I going to stuff you down so that you then just pop up in some other unexpected place where I become highly reactive to the world around me. So when we do that, we also then are noticing how we feel in our bodies, right? Because like in my example, even before my mind kicked into, my gosh, she doesn't want quiche, she's disrupted my day, I felt the tension in my body, right? I felt myself kind of like do that, right? Through my whole body. And so our bodies are really very sensitive to this and very helpful to us if we can pay attention. So we develop a quiet mind and quiet mindfulness practices so that we have the capacity to be for quietness, so we can see where our mind goes, so we can notice those two voices, so that we can observe them as a witness rather than being carried away by them or stuffing those feelings down and then letting them pop up somewhere else. So when I think about this in terms of planning, I think about my friend Aaliyah. So she is on Facebook a lot, and one of the things she does is she puts ideas out there about dinner. Because if you're the person in your family, or if you're single and you are responsible for every meal of the day or a lot of them, you know, it can be a kind of burdensome task. And so I really appreciate her efforts because she has clever ideas for breakfast, for dinner, for Sunday suppers, for meatless Mondays, for throwback Thursdays. She's got it all worked out. And so she's got a lot of great ideas that help her friends plan. And I particularly admire her work in this regard because she herself is in a difficult moment right now. So she had a great job, a job that she loved, and the job went away. Like many people, she was laid off, and it's a job that's not coming back. She was great at it, and she'd even been sort of, when she took the job, pretty well guaranteed that it was bulletproof, that there was nothing that could disrupt this job, and then there was a pandemic. So a lot of promises, I think, probably people feel have been broken. So we have been talking. I've been trying to be a good sounding board for her as she goes through this process of looking for a new job. And initially, we had really great conversations. I was so impressed with her. One of the things she does is she's a great networker. So she didn't hesitate to let the people in her network know that she was looking for a job. She's in kind of the sector of higher education and nonprofit leadership. And she's looked widely, geographically widely, type of job. She's been very open. She's worked hard. She's put together revised cover letters. She's tailored a resume. She's been on the phone with people. She has done her research on each job that she's applied for. She's done a lot of hard work and a lot of good work. And I think that is a kind of mindful planning. She's been very present to what each opportunity has presented and really allowed herself to pay attention and to go for it 100% each time. So then she called me, reached out to me a week or so ago and said she wanted to talk. And she said, when we finally found a time to talk, she said, I think you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think I want to, instead of looking for those jobs, or really, I'm not convinced I want one of those kind of traditional jobs in my field that I've been looking at. I think I want to start my own business, a bricks and mortar kind of business. And of course, as you know, my ears went up as soon as she said, I think you're going to think I'm crazy, right? So she's in a way, foreshadowing that maybe she's wrong, maybe she's doing something wrong. But then she let that go. And then she started talking to me about the business. And you know, talk about being lit up. She was so excited. And talked about, and I was so impressed with this. She said, when I think about doing this, I feel so much lighter in my body than when I think about those other jobs. And she was so aware of both her body and mind response to this situation. I was very impressed with that. She said, you know, I also have been, so she started to talk to me, I'm sorry, about some things that she'd been doing to learn more about the opportunity. So she'd learned about small business loans. She'd done a lot of research, just online research about how this particular bricks and mortar kind of store operates. She talked to other people who had similar businesses in similar sized towns, so have similar kinds of struggles. She had talked to people in the town that she lives in to look at, she'd noticed and observed all these different ways in which there could be partnerships between her business and some other businesses in town. She'd done the research on loans, not just small business, but from banks. She'd talked to a real estate agent. She had talked to her friends just to get sort of their read of, what do you think this would be like for me? Does it suit me in a way in terms of personality? She had also, in her conversations with people who had similar businesses, she'd identified challenges, like places that she knew what she liked about the business, the things that she thought sounded really fun and interesting. And then she learned about some things she thought, that's not really me. I wouldn't really enjoy that. So she'd done some work to think about, how could I outsource that? Could I afford to outsource that? What would that be like? So she was just going great guns and we were chatting. And finally she said, but, and of course, right? She understood that she had done all of this mindful planning, being fully present. She wasn't judging the results as she got information. She was just gathering information. And then the dictator took over. But what if you fail? But you don't really know anything about this. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to look like a fool. Why would you do this? This is crazy. You don't know anything about this. And so when we come, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about how Aaliyah and I talked about those two different things that were happening for her, this mindful planning versus this mindless kind of fretful thinking, this familiar fast food thinking versus the luscious, nutritious planning that she was doing. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and this is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's it going? If it's stressful or just plain exhausting, New Light Living is here to ask, is this the way you want to live? Join me, your intuitive spiritual life coach and host, Erica Sullivan, every week on New Light Living. Discover the power of creative tools to start living every day as your ideal dream day. See your life in a new light. To learn more, visit newlightliving.com.
How do we authentically express? Hi, I'm Lisa Marie Shakti Ma with Divine Transmissions Radio, and I'm here to help you answer that question. First off, what is authentic expression? This is when we express from our authentic self, our heart, as opposed to our false self, our mind, or our trauma. Why do we want to do this? Because within this space, divine intelligence resides. Divine intelligence is always expressing for the higher good of all involved. The first step is just to take one or a couple of slow, deep breaths. The second step is to drop your awareness into your heart, either with your intention and your focus, or through the energy of gratitude and love. The third step is just to feel, allow what wants to be expressed from that space, and allow that authentic expression through.
Are you ready for a holistic healing revolution? Subscribe to Burn Bright Today podcast with Jennifer Marcinelli on Transformation Talk Radio. Healing is about self-care and seeking help when you need it. The best investment you can make is in yourself and your body, mind, and spirit. One step at a time, you can burn bright and live a life you dream. For more information on how to heal from home, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Have you heard the story of the snake and the rope? One evening, a young woman was walking down a country road. It was growing dark. Suddenly, she froze. Up ahead was a coiled snake. She was terrified. She reached into her bag for a flashlight and directed the beam of light towards the snake. Now she was flooded with relief. It was just a piece of old rope. That snake stands for all our imaginary fears and insecurities that sap our confidence. The beam of light is conscious confidence. Ask yourself, how many snakes did I see today? How many actions or words did I stifle through fear? Hi, I'm Sarah Main, creator of Conscious Confidence. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, for Conscious Confidence Radio on transformationtalkradio.com. Learn more about how you can live a life filled with conscious confidence. Go to my website, consciousconfidence.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'm so glad you could join me today. So we are talking about mindfulness in the context of planning, healthy, mindful planning versus the pull of negative energy that leads to fretful, worrisome thinking. So I was talking about my friend Aaliyah, who is in the process of searching for a new job. And in the course of searching for a new job, she's come along with this idea of perhaps starting her own business. And I was saying that she noticed how light she felt in her body, how good she felt when she was doing the work, really concrete work, of exploring this business opportunity, and how that was in contrast to the way she felt when she was applying for traditional jobs. But in the process of doing all of this great, mindful, thoughtful research on this new business opportunity or idea, there were times when she was visited by self-doubt. And it's funny, in a way, a friend of hers said to her when she talked to her about it, "Remember, Aaliyah, there will be doubters." And she was right. There will be people in our life who will ask us questions, who will question whether or not we're capable of doing something. But as Singer said, you know, we don't have to be disturbed by what's happening, what other people do in our lives, unless we can choose not to be disturbed. But that requires a level of mindfulness and consideration that can be very difficult to achieve. It's both the case that external forces can throw us off course, can throw us into a whirlpool of negativity and fear, but our own minds can do it just as easily, and I suspect do it more often. So when Aaliyah and I talked about this, one of the things that we really focused on and that I think is very important for all of us in this kind of situation is, I always say it's important to look at the facts or the evidence. What's the evidence of what's happening? Aaliyah and I really slowed down in order for her to remind herself that she was not needing to make a decision that day, right? The applications to the traditional jobs were still out there and they were still proceeding. She hadn't shut that door. At the same time, the idea about her own business was not one that needed to be made that day. And there was enormous evidence. Honestly, I think she could have written, if she'd put it in a journal, I think she would have had 50 to 75 pages of notes and information of work that she had done, real, concrete, thoughtful, self-aware work about what this business opportunity was like, right? And you can balance that or compare that and say, here's the reality, here's the evidence of what I've actually done versus that voice in my head. That voice that is afraid, that voice that is trying to protect my ego and self-concept when it says, you can't do this, don't take the risk, you're going to make a fool of yourself, people are going to think you're crazy, right? That is a voice that's trying to protect our self-concept. And so that is a voice that, from Singer's perspective, we can watch. We can observe that voice from the witness seat. We can say, I see you. I know you're afraid. I'm going to turn my attention back to the work. And that shift is really a radical shift away from, I don't want to say fantasy, but I do think, you know, it is just kind of a voice in my head sometimes, right? It's not really very much about reality at all. It is really very much, and it might be that you're hearing a parent's voice or the culture's voice or an old friend's voice or something, that voice of self-doubt. It may have a kind of persona to it, but really it is just a voice. And it is not the reality. And that's what I encourage people to compare it to, is what have you actually done in a concrete way that is giving you information? And, you know, Aaliyah may not start that business, right? She's doing so much work that she may come to the conclusion that that's not the right thing to do. But it will be based on reality, on knowledge that she has gained, as opposed to that fearful voice that just is so scared that it wants to keep her stuck or trapped in place. So that's, in a general sense, I think, what we're talking about when we're trying to distinguish between the healthy work of planning, mindful planning, self-aware planning, versus this thing that can happen in the course of that planning that derails us and that takes us out of the flow and into a place that is very unhealthy and unhelpful to us. You know, Singer talks about letting go and therefore not letting ourselves be pulled into that whirlpool of negativity. And he really has a very lovely description about that energy. And he says that in those moments, what we want to do is relax and release. He talks about sort of falling behind that negative energy as opposed to allowing it to pull us in, that it's really very much a conscious choice when we can make it. But how do we do that? Well, we have to gain practice in being in the witness seat, right? So staying in the witness seat, because these feelings are inevitable. They are going to arise. I think the vast majority of us are not going to reach the levels of enlightenment where we simply never feel negative emotions or have negative and fearful thoughts. I just think that's very unrealistic. And even if it could happen between now and then, a lot's going to happen that's going to cause me to have self-doubt. And so what I want is a way to address that. So our practice that of mindfulness is practicing the capacity to stay in the witness seat so that we can feel the tension in our body when it arises. We can notice the defensive thoughts and fearful thoughts when they come up, and we can acknowledge them, right? We don't want to just stuff them down, because if we do, they'll pop up someplace else. We want to acknowledge them. And then that allows them to, it gives us some space between our essential self and those thoughts and feelings and bodily reactions, so that we can then allow them to pass through us. Singer writes that getting involved in the darkness doesn't dispel it, it feeds it. So if we allow the darkness to overtake us and those thoughts and feelings to really take us away on a journey, we're just feeding it, right? Just the same way that the more I eat fast food, the more I crave fast food. The less I eat fast food, the more I eat home-cooked meals, the less desirable that fast food is. And I really have, I just say that in all sincerity, have been surprised at times when, like yesterday with the quiche incident, I could see those negative thoughts. I could see that opportunity to be carried away. And sometimes I will just say, I will indulge those thoughts, but I never feel better afterwards, right? It is a fast food kind of habit of mind. It's not very nourishing. Whereas the more I'm able to practice mindfulness, the more rather fabulous I feel when I am able to see those thoughts and allow them to pass through me. There's an enormous amount of relief in that. That kind of releasing and relaxing in the face of that thinking. So in general, we've been, over the course of these conversations, been talking about particular practices we want to engage in that can help us with this. And I really want to reinforce one that we talked about several weeks ago, which is two questions. So what I suggested then was that on your phone or some other device that you might use where you have a timer, that you just click it, you create two or three times during the course of a day when the timer goes off, that you are not driving in a car and you're not someplace where you can't stop, but that you might stop, and you may not do it every time, because sometimes you will be driving in a car, and stop and ask yourself two questions. How do I feel in my body, and what is my mind doing? Right? To gain practice at noticing your bodily reactions to things is very powerful. For some of us, our bodies are pretty sensitive instruments, right? My tummy really knows when I'm upset way before my mind does. But for others, you've maybe been raised to really ignore or not pay attention to bodily sensations, you know, kind of walk it off, Don't give in to it, right? So doing this practice may be actually troubling at times when you start to really allow yourself to notice the physiological responses you're having to your mind and to the world around you. So that's important. So how do I feel in my body and where do I feel it? And then second, the other thing that we want to encourage you is with this question of what is my mind doing? And it's not what am I thinking about, but what is my mind doing? So yesterday with the Keisha incident, my mind was panicking a little, right? My mind was getting very defensive. My mind wanted to go down a road of an argument, of challenge, of fighting back in a sense. And so we want to know what our mind is doing. And again, whether we're in a simple situation, an easy situation, whether we're feeling good, bad, or indifferent, noticing and having that practice of being able to say in any situation, how do I feel in my body? What is my mind doing? And really, less than, I would say, 15 seconds to respond to those two questions can often give us enough space in any kind of moment that we can take a breath. We can notice what's happening as opposed to simply being drawn in to that energy. And that's the critical thing. Staying in the witness seat, seeing what's happening, and then being able to address it. So when we come back, I'm going to review a little, but mostly I want to talk to you about a new direction that I'm taking with the show starting next week. So I am Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Thank you.
everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'm so glad you joined me today. Today, our conversation was about mindful, self-aware planning that we all have to do in our lives, and perhaps now more than ever with so much uncertainty in the world around us, versus the kind of mindless, fearful thinking that we often drift into. And these phenomena, I think, are really paired for many of us, so that when we have an idea of something we want to pursue, even if we're doing the real work of making a good, informed, self-aware decision about that new opportunity, that fearful, fretful voice, that dictator voice, often comes in and is undermining us. And so we want to think about Michael Singer's work and his ideas about energy. And where does our energy flow? And what we give attention to is where our energy flows. And so in that mindful planning process, I really encourage people to be honest with themselves and look at reality. And the reality of, are you doing the work? Are you finding out the information? Right? Is there something tangible or concrete that you're figuring out, and giving yourself credit for that? Saying, yeah, I'm doing the work. I don't need that fearful voice to keep me safe. I'm doing what I need to do to keep me safe by being clear and working hard or getting information or doing whatever it is I need to do to make a good decision. I don't need a fearful, frightened voice to keep my self-concept intact, keep my ego intact. So that's kind of my takeaway for today, is when you're thinking about and trying to plan, whether it's, do I know what to make for dinner, or do I know what the next stage of my life is going to be? What's reality? What are you really doing? So that you can let that negative and fearful voice go. Just notice it, relax, and release it, because it's not helping you. Even though I think this is, the truth of the dictator voice is that it wants to convince you that it's the one telling you the truth, not the real work that you're doing. So I am embarking on a new path with some of my episodes of Nothing But Now. And I have, in fact, engaged in quite this exact process of being fearful and or of planning and doing the work, and of also being scared. So here's the thing. I really believe that mindfulness practices are relevant even during a pandemic. I believe they're relevant even while we are in a new era of the civil rights movement, when citizen protests against racism in general and police brutality in particular are happening. But given these recent events, I really feel a call to shift the focus of some episodes of my show. So I want to devote some of my shows to conversations with people in my life who are African American. And the reason I want to do this is that a few weeks ago, I did a show about the relationship between racism and mindlessness and what mindful practices can do to address that. And one of the things I talked about is the question of, what do we fill our minds with? Whether we're white or a Black, Indigenous person of color, what are the images and the stories that we fill our mind with? What's out in the world around us? And for white people, I think it is often the case that we have a very narrow conception of the lives of African Americans, because we see mediated images of celebrities, musicians, athletes, and we see the news, and the news and the relentless focus in the news on criminality, on poverty, on struggle, on failure, et cetera, really pathologizing of the Black American experience. So it's very narrow. And I think it's very unhelpful. And I think it really feeds, for white people, I think it feeds our embedded ideas about white supremacy and racial superiority. I think it feeds our quick, thoughtless reactions to people of color. And the examples of that are absolutely legion. And so I want to say to myself, so what I said to myself was, what can I do? What's a concrete step that I can take? And so I have this platform. So what I've been doing in the last few weeks is thinking through this idea, thinking about my motivations, thinking about the impact, thinking about whether it's a good idea or not, and trying to just simply do the work instead of just be filled with self-doubt. So I reached out to people I have met through my professional life, through volunteer activities I've been in, and I've invited them to allow me to interview them on the show. So that's what we're going to do. And these are people that I find extraordinary, but they are also at the same time just regular folks, just like you and me. And so starting next week, I'm going to do this series of interviews, and some will be live, some will be pre-recorded, absolutely at the discretion of the person I'm interviewing. And I think for me, that's a really important part of this, not the pre-recorded or live, but at the discretion of the person I've invited onto the show. They are really going to drive the interview. So I don't know what they want to talk about until they tell me what they want to talk about. In other words, if they want to talk about racism, we will talk about that. But that is not for me to decide, it is for them to decide. And what I've noticed in my conversations so far, what I think you will be hearing from my guests, I think you will hear family history. And I think that that's very, very important, particularly for white Americans. I think we have we are very uneducated about the family history of African Americans in our communities, people we know, people we work with, people we don't know. And I think that's really powerful. But they'll also be talking about their own individual journeys, their own career and family journeys. I've asked if they want to, and suggested they might talk about the social, political, civic, religious commitments and practices and activities that they engage in. I've invited them if they want to, if there's a business or a podcast or a publication, either their own or someone else's, that they want to lift up. I've encouraged them to, that's a great thing, and we'll make information available on the Facebook page or on the website, so that if you wanted to follow up, you will be able to do that. And I hope that each of them will share a message with whatever community, with their community, however they define their community. So we're going to start next week. My first guest is Virgil Jones, and Mr. Jones and I met probably 15 years ago when we both worked at Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota. And at the time, he was the director of multicultural and diversity programming. And he's gone on to become the athletic director and assistant principal at Apple Valley High School in Apple Valley, Minnesota. So Virgil and I are going to talk about, he's going to talk a little bit, I know, about family history, about his own journey, about his commitments around leadership and civic engagement. And he's also going to be speaking from the perspective as a father of four and a husband about his family's experience living in Minnesota during this particular time in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder. So I hope you will join us. I think for white viewers, this is an opportunity to hear stories that you have not heard before, because these are not people whose voices are routinely lifted up. And for my listeners who are Black, Indigenous people of color, I think especially for Black listeners, you will hear stories that you will find very familiar, but again, that are rarely lifted up in our culture. And so I hope you'll have the opportunity to join us. The first three interviews are scheduled. We'll do this about every other week. And I'm really grateful to the people who agreed to participate with me. I'd also like to draw your attention today to a new show on Transformation Talk Radio. It's called Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And her show airs on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm looking forward to talking to Brittany next week, not on our show, but just one-on-one, and then to being on her show in August. But this is someone whose work I think you'll really appreciate, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to listen to her show. Let's do three deep breaths. Just pay attention to your breathing. Relax. Set your intention for the next hour. If you'd like to learn more about my work, you can go to my website, maguirelifecoach.com. That's M-A-G-U-I-R-E, lifecoach.com, or email me at maryangelamaguire@gmail.com. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern, when I'll be talking to Mr. Virgil Jones. And until then, be well, and thank you for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Maryangela Maguire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, maguirelifecoach.com. That's maguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.